sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. There is nothing outside of a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. The words of our text. Please be seated. Well, we are all quite clear that a basic principle of Christian love is that no one should seek their own interest or benefit, but rather that we seek the interest and the benefit of the other, the Christian brother. To make one's own rights and one's own liberties of the utmost concern, regardless of the good of others, is the highest form of selfishness, and it is a violation of the law of the love of God. Jesus is addressing this very example and using the example of, is it against the law of God to eat this food or that food? Jesus points out that it's not what goes into a person that defiles him, but what comes out of a person's heart that makes them unclean. And, you know, we had from within, out of the heart of man, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. And then, you know, the first stanza of the hymn there, Lord, open now my heart to hear. And if you listen to that and you think about that and you begin to wonder certain things. And I mean, it makes me wonder. We have all these different categories. We have categories of thought and dreams and feelings. And are feelings and emotions the same thing? Or are feelings and emotions two different categories of things? Are they something else completely? And that makes me even wonder, like, how in the world are we even self-aware? I mean, like, okay, no wasp ever sat around and moped because nobody likes wasps, okay? They don't do that. It doesn't bother them, okay? And, I mean, yeah, sure, an entomologist might like a wasp, but only for the fact that a wasp is useful in certain circumstances. But wasps don't sit down and mope about that. And how much does an animal really think? And why aren't we animals? Like, we're not animals. We're human beings. We're different than the animals. We're a different created creature. And for that matter, okay, how would it be possible for electrons and neurons and chemical reactions and everything that make up the physical world, how does it produce consciousness? And what in the world is consciousness to begin with? Like, how are you you? It leads us to say, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, how is thought even generated, right? How is that even possible? How do we think? How do you know that you know? Like, how do you know that you understand? How do you know that you know? How do you know what you know? How do we see in words? And how do we communicate? How do we feel joy and love and hope and happiness and terror and anger? And what on earth makes us dream dreams? What makes us think? And how is there then the knowledge of good and bad, right and wrong, moral and immoral? And for that matter, where does the idea of what is moral and what is immoral, where does that idea even come from? So there has to exist something outside of ourselves to it's a standard, something outside of ourselves for which, you know, you measure yourself against, something that is objectively right or something that is objectively good, something that we can hold up against it and say, okay, if this matches this, it's good, and if it doesn't match this, it's bad and it's wrong. If there was not an external standard, if there's no external standard, then every person would be a law or a definition unto themselves. And if that were the case, the only thing left would be that might makes right. And am I strong enough and forceful and willful enough to enforce my definition on you and make you follow and believe it. And for that matter, what is a heart? What is a Lord, open now my heart to hear. That's what we sang just a few minutes ago. Well, the heart is a muscle. It sits right here in your chest, right? And it pumps blood throughout your entire body. It doesn't have feelings or thoughts or emotions. It's just a muscle. So is your heart your brain? Is that possible? Is it your brain? If it's not the brain, what is it? This leads me to ask the question of how does the brain even work? We can graph it, we can measure it, we can scan it, we can dissect it, we can model it, we can show that it works, but how does it work? And the how of how it works is really quite beyond us. So if the heart is not in our head and it's not in our chest, where is it? So clearly we are more than the sum of our parts. So here then is Jesus, the Son of God, true man, the Word of creation. He is speaking and he is telling us that you really do have this immaterial part of you. It can't be measured, it can't be seen, it can't be touched, it can't be weighed, but you have it. It is a heart. And in addition to having it, we are told that this heart is bent and broken. And if it's bent and broken, if something is bent and broken, then there must be a straight and a fixed. There must be something that is unbroken, that doesn't need to be fixed. If there's bent, there's straight. If it's broken, then there's whole or repaired. We grasp it good. We try the golden rule. But this is from outside of ourselves. And so there is an external God. And not just any God, and not a caricature of a hyped up human being. This is a God who is outside of us and yet who is very near to us at the exact same time. His Spirit enters into us so that we by nature grasp at what is good. As St. Paul wrote, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the requirements of the law, they are a law unto themselves, even though they don't have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse and even excuse them." Now this Creator says to you, "Be thou holy as I am holy." And then he says, "Here is my law. My law is good," like he was pointing out to the Israelites in the Old Testament reading. "My law is good. Have no other gods. Do not misuse my nature. Dedicate time to me. In thought, word, or deed, don't murder your neighbor. Instead, help your neighbor keep and improve his possessions and income." And God also touches the things that are not physical, the non-physical part of us. Because really, where does jealousy, coveting, desire, where do these come from? And how do we even have words for that? And never mind that, how do we have love, affinity, affection? How do we have these things? But we do. And God says to us, go past love and honor your parents. And he tells us, do not desire a house, a home, a spouse, land, or possessions that aren't yours. And don't try and manipulate things so you get stuff that doesn't belong to you. As the law and the will of God isn't completely and fully honored among us, we can see that the heart is clearly broken. The heart is bent. And this brokenness and this bentness is a product of the fall into sin. And it's not something we can even begin to fix, since we can't even figure out how it really works. We just understand that it is. And this leads us to cry out to God to not punish us, but rather to fix us. To fix us. And we cry out, create, O Lord, create. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Well, there it is. We need a new heart. A heart which only God can create. A gift which comes from Him alone and His grace alone. And the acquisition of this new heart is a gift that only God can give. And it belongs only to the one who in Christ has become a new creation. This new heart, then, is a new way of thinking, a new mode of being, an existence that seeks the good of the other before it seeks the good of itself. This is a new and a different and a regenerated mode of being, one that seeks to follow the will of God, even to the point of humbling the self in confession and receiving the gift of absolution. And from that gift of God, from that gift of God flow purifying streams, the miracle of a new birth that comes from the true washing, the washing in the waters of holy baptism. Baptism flows out of Christ's life, His death, His resurrection. It flows out of His death in our place, the righteous dying for the unrighteous, and His grace and His mercy and His love, even His blood, is poured out upon us in the life-giving waters of holy baptism. The good news of God's cleansing love in Jesus Christ is applied to you through the waters of your holy baptism. So this idea, the name of a heart, whatever it is, it's there. And it's ultimately quite mysterious. And mysterious though it be, it is real. And it is a product of our creation by a good and loving and almighty God. This God, the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, did not leave us to fend for ourselves, but has redeemed creation. He has renewed our hearts through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God. We are His people. And it is our constant prayer that through His grace, we may love and serve and obey Him with the new heart that He has given us. And in that God's name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.